Music, I guess 2 weeks ago, and then last Sunday at Filipino Independent Baptist Church. And so that's really neat to be where they speak a different language. Part of the service, they sing what's the name of the language? Tagalog? Tagalog is what it looks like. Tagalog. And so that was really a great, great time. And you all are just exciting to be around. Just a blessing. Love the choir. It was just really oomph. I love oomph. Oomph singing. Oomph. That's a new word. Oomph. Oomph singing. And I haven't been at our table because I, for the special this morning, brother, I had to quickly write down the words because I didn't have my word book and I don't trust this up here. That's why I have a PowerPoint. But anyway, we're about biblical authority from the very first verse. In the beginning, God created. And so, since Jesus is the living Word, we're going to exalt Him with this song, Come Praise the Lord With Me. Come praise the Lord with me. Come praise the Lord. Worthy is He. His glories proclaim, joining our voices to honor His name. Cruel was the death He died when He was crucified. Scars. He is alive. We can shout to the stars. Shout to the stars. Someday He's coming from heaven's bright throne, coming earth's kingdoms to claim as His own. Coming in glory unfurled, all eyes will see Him. He'll rule the world. Jesus will rule the world. Come pray. That's who we're lifting up today. Jesus is the Creator. We see that in Colossians 1. And as we begin this morning, I just want to reference a couple of things from our table. There's awesome things in God's creation that proclaim the gospel. Have you ever heard of the crimson worm? Anybody ever heard of the crimson worm? You need to know about the crimson worm. And just a little gist. When Psalm 22 begins, does anybody know how Psalm 22 begins? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we don't know for sure from the New Testament, but we think Jesus may have quoted the entire psalm from the cross. We don't know that, but part of that psalm reflected in one of our hymns that mentions a worm. For such a worm as I. there is a worm that's called the crimson worm that, well, the mother worm climbs onto a tree to give birth to her young, oozes a red material, red stuff, onto her babies. She dies giving birth to her young, and the red stuff turns white. That's a nutshell, and there's so much more that is just amazing. I encourage you to check out our new Facebook page if you're on Facebook, social media, Doubt Darwin Day. February the 12th is Darwin Day. Anybody heard of Darwin Day? How many have heard of the name Charles Darwin popularizing the idea called evolution, millions of years and everything? Well, we decided in place of our conference, which is usually this time of year, actually in February, around that time, we decided, because of some expenses related to a piece of property that we hope to close on this next week, that we can hang our hat someplace when we're in our home area. We kind of have to be, I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, and we have to rely on churches in our home area. Hey, can we park at your church for a time or whatever? Anyway, so the Lord has provided some property where we can hopefully put a spot. And so, anyway, we couldn't see doing the conference effort and expenses related to the property. So we thought, we'll just go online. Facebook Live. Anybody do anything Facebook Live? So we started doing some things like that on our Doubt Darwin Day page. And so I invite you, it says February 12th, Monday, February 12th, but you can still go there. We're going to keep that. Every day is Doubt Darwin Day. Yeah. Every day is Doubt Darwin Day. And Believe God Day. Amen. Believe God Day. Amen. And I'll mention some more of these things I had up here this evening. But the rise of atheism, is it up there?
Press the button.
Oh, the big button. There we go.
Let's see.
And there we go. Whoosh. All right. Now maybe we can get a clicker going this evening. I forgot my two USB outlet thing. But let's turn to 1 Timothy as we begin this morning. 1 Timothy. I'm going to show you where evolution is described in the Bible. Described in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Of course, God speaking through the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, neither give heed to fables. The Greek word translated fables is mouthos, and we get our English word myth from it. Hey, that's why we teach the kids, Pastor, to say fairy tale when they hear millions of years ago. And But the next few words I want to highlight just briefly, and endless, that means having no end to it. No barrier, no boundary, no end on one side or the other. Endless genealogy. You know that interesting section of scripture you love to come to when you're reading your Bibles? That's called the genealogies. Don't you love those names you can't pronounce? Now let's confession is good for the soul. How many of you skip those portions? How many of you slog through it? How many of you skim it? They are important. They are very important because they tie back to Adam. Thinking of 1 Corinthians 15:22, you don't need to turn there, but it's a very good verse to memorize. For as in Adam, all die. And so those genealogies, particularly Matthew and Luke, I believe, they tie back to the beginning. And so that's what we need to do more of, like with the Sunday school series, you all, tying people back to why we believe what we believe, tying people back to the beginning. And I think creation is critical for even the text issue. That's another, y'all are going through that now. But the rise of atheism, let me finish here with 1 Timothy 1 and verse 4. Endless genealogies. Look at the first four letters of genealogies. Does that remind you of another book of the Bible? Genesis. In other words, we could say of the genealogies, they are the beginnings of so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so began when they were born. Well, we say, of course, with conception, but anyway, the genealogy, that's another thing with abortion and all, but genealogies are a record of that, when so-and-so began. So, those are not endless.
That's right.
Those take us back to a firm beginning with the first man, Adam, and continuing on till, let's see, Martha and Mickey Setzer begat Jeff Setzer until today, and ongoing until the future, until the end of time. So we are to not give heed, and so we're here to help warn of fables and helping folk not to give heed, but to help also alert us to our young people who are giving in to the fables. Because it's so prevalent in our culture. Hence, this message entitled The Rise of Atheism. January, a year ago, was the first time giving that. And at our church, we had 6 people from the local Hickory Humanist Alliance show up. Tiny Baptist church there in Hickory. And here's 6 people from the local humanist organization right there. And they named their name Hickory Humanist Alliance. But they're actually based in Claremont. You know, the H's help with humanism and Hickory and everything. So we are burdened right where we are in our home area to minister with creation ministry. Not to stay there, of course, travel and use Facebook and all. But they found out about the event through Facebook. Now, have you all ever had, I'm sure there's a humanist organization or atheist organization or 2 or 3 in this populated area of the Tidewater. Have you ever had anybody, any atheists come? Try having an atheist event and putting it on Facebook. Jesus died for them as well, right? But while we're here is to help alert us to some things going on and hopefully help share some things as to what we need to do about it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your works. I thank you for this precious opportunity to share these things. Some of them are burdensome, but may they burden us to do something. I pray, Lord, please help us. I pray in the blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we sang just a few moments ago. And as we've been singing and proclaiming, this church proclaiming the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 1 mentions when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And their imaginations, they became vain in their imaginations and their fool. So a progression downhill from rejecting God. They knew him not as Savior, not as having trusted him, trusting the Lord, but knowing through creation, the verses preceding verse 21. I'm going to share some of this video.
That religion is just absolutely uncalled for. We are just mere things floating on a rock in space.
You don't have to go to church on Christmas, and it is about being good, and that's what all religions are about anyway.
So you're an atheist?
Yes.
I need to know what to believe in.
Like what happens when you die?
Yes, I don't want to be a bag of dust.
David, are you an atheist?
Yes.
When did you become an atheist?
Around age 12.
Believing in God makes no sense. It's to me, it's the dumbest thing. It's for people that can't accept the fact that they're going to die and rot in the ground like I'm going to do, and it gives them some relief from that thought, because it's not the nicest thought in the world.
Are you an atheist?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Are you an atheist?
I am. But yeah, I'm an atheist.
Yes, I am.
Alex, do you believe in God's existence?
No, I do not.
How long have you been an atheist?
I would say probably since I was about 15 years old.
So you don't believe in the existence of God?
No, not really.
What happened when you were 15?
I started questioning things, and I really just started to think about the logic behind everything.
For the most part, we are not shown the evidence for there being a higher power. If we were, I almost guarantee that almost every atheist would immediately agree to there being a higher power.
Are you atheists?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I just haven't seen enough evidence, I suppose.
I grew up in a Christian family, and just over the few years during high school and as I grew up, I just realized that there wasn't a lot of evidence to support that belief system.
Are you open to evidence?
I think I am open to evidence. It just would have to be extraordinarily compelling, like out of this world compelling.
Out of this world compelling. Did you hear a common word, though, amongst a few of those being interviewed by Ray Comfort? I invite you, it's on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and look up. I think the video is called The Atheist Delusion. And it is very eye-opening. And the ages, did you note some of the ages? All the way down, I think 12. Folks, we need to be reaching our young people. And in this culture, with more than just the Bible says so. I mean, to us, that's sufficient, but it's not in this culture because the devil has been bombarding our young people with doubts, as with Eve in the garden.
That's right.
Yea, hath God said. And we're battling thousands of years, and I'm so glad you're doing a series on the King James. We're battling thousands of years of the devil using his tactics of doubt. And who am I to say, well, this is concrete and it's because I said so? You know, that doesn't carry weight. There's so many reasons for that. I don't have time to mention that. But in the minds of young people today, there's rebellion. There is so much going on around us that's even more than back in the 60s. It's grown. And we're going to give you some reasons why, hopefully, this evening. And I do plan on bringing that presentation entitled, what did I call it? Gender Confusion, How Did We Get Here? Gender Confusion, How Do We, that's my title for it. But three basic categories of the atheist agnostics, there's the highlighted two there. And Brother James, you said something about, you had talked about agnosticism, and what it means is ignorant. The word actually means ignorant. So if somebody claims to be agnostic, you can lovingly say, you know what that word means? But do it wisely and say, that word means ignorant. Let me share with you some knowledge and be prepared. Take some of our creation cards. One thing that we love to use is soft tissue in a T-Rex thigh bone. You say, well, why would that be? Very important because they have to rely on millions of years. So how could there be soft tissue? Yea, even more recent finding of an entire mummified dinosaur. Yes, the entire body of a dinosaur has been found in Canada. And we'll share with that maybe in a little bit. But atheist, agnostic, and then there's the anti-theist. We're battling this, anti-theism. In fact, I'll tell you, a young man who went to Pensacola Christian College, my alma mater, just within the last few weeks shared with me on a Facebook thread. It's not there any longer. I couldn't find, he kind of weeded out some of his comments and things, but he still believes this. He has rejected the faith, but he's open to communication at least. And he went Christian home, our former church, grew up in that church. He suggested I read a book by Christopher Hitchens that tells me where he's at, an atheist. And I said, I don't need to go to the atheist to find out. I know I've dealt with this, and so I was nice in telling him, but this is another book. I don't know if this was the same title, but God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens. And our young people are being impacted around, even in Christian homes, even in Christian schools, and in sometimes right under our noses.
That's right.
We need to wake up and smell the coffee. And part of his quote here, Hitchens says, I am not even an atheist as much as I am an anti-theist. And they're targeting the young people. America's Changing Landscape, from an article dated May 12, 2015, has a graph in it that shows the rise of what's called in this graph the unaffiliated. Sometimes referred to as simply non-religious. And while that is to us a great field of say, well, you know, they're open for the gospel. Well, they're not. Yes, they are, but they aren't. They've got, so often they've got walls built up against all religion. All religion. Red and yellow, black, I mean, whatever religion it may be, they've got the wall built up. And sometimes those walls, I'll just be honest with you, they are justified because of failures, moral, money, all kinds of issues amongst believers and pseudo-believers. Fox News, back in 2006, studied that children trust science more than they trust Bill Nye the Science Guy. That's a shame. He got his start stand-up comedy. He's still doing it, but masquerading as a scientist. He's not. Dr. Scott, the paleontologist on Dinosaur Train, we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end, but 2/3 of children from Christian homes will leave church after they leave home, a Barna Institute statistic from 2002. Now, we're talking about some old statistics. It's worse now. And some of these things have hit home because of our personal experience. Here in Virginia, we spoke at a camp, Rapidan Baptist Camp, I believe. And a man came up to me afterwards. I just briefly referenced a couple of illustrations. And he came up to tell me something afterwards about his own son going off to Bible college to study. Now, I didn't recognize the Bible college. There's a number of little ones or whatever Bible college it was. I don't remember the name. But he went off to Bible college to study to be an evangelist. And according to this man, Ian, no, the father of Ian, so I don't remember his name, but his son Ian's name stuck in my mind, that he came home after taking a course in apologetics of all types of courses to study and came home an atheist. Now that begs one to question, who taught that course and what do they use? How did they teach the course? A friend who went into eternity, as far as I know, an atheist, Dendel Holloman, was a parent that I had met when I ran a bus route and went visiting. I learned quickly to make this visit the last one, Pastor, because he would want me to come in, have a cup of coffee, and visit. 30 minutes would have been a short visit. Wasn't anything like, here's a couple pieces of candy, are we seeing you at church tomorrow? You know, his only son at the time, Ricky, pretty much came every Sunday because he was allowed to make his own choices in many different ways. The modern way of thinking of raising your children. But Dendel Holloman was agnostic at the time. He was so friendly, he would give you the shirt off his back. He would talk or anything. And if I brought up religious stuff, the wall would go up. But if he brought it up, it was fine. And I learned quickly, no prayer before leaving. Can I pray before I leave? You know, nothing like that. You can include 3 points in a poem in your prayer, you know. But he was real nice about it. And he would shoot down any, quote, pat answers. And I wrote him a couple letters before he passed away, but I don't know. I mean, I may find out different in heaven. That would be awesome. But there are others. This gentleman we met at that fellowship that we had, that the 6 humanists came, that I referenced earlier. The head of the Humanist Alliance, Hickory Humanist Alliance, shown here, he has a picture. I just got this off the internet and such. Gene Elliott. They were having a special event, I guess that would have been last year, month of March. So he invited me to their atheist event. And so I later shared with him a message to say, well, if you'll come to our creation conference we're having, I'll go to your, that never transpired, thankfully. I didn't want to go, but in fact, it was very interesting, Pastor. He even told me, you'll probably not want to come to the Friday night portion of that conference. And he gave a little bit of reason why, but that was very interesting that he knew that intuitively to say you probably wouldn't like that. But Gene Elliott came to me after that presentation, one of the first ones of doing that message. And when I had referenced Christian home, Bible preaching church, and a few things down the list there, Christian school, And I had a list. It was different than I have now. I had more pictures and things and names, which I've cut out for, you know, as far as getting the message sometimes on Facebook and things. And somebody might see that name and they know that person, you know, different things like that. So privacy's sake, I've cut out some of these things. But since his picture and he's head of this organization and all, he came up to me afterwards. And I never will forget this. He asked if I remembered this slide that I had, this list, and I'll show you more in just a few moments, of that list of characteristics, Christian home in their life, Christian school, Bible preaching church. And he said, after he said, you remember that slide? I said, yes, I do. He said, that was me. That was me. Now, I don't know where he's from originally. I'm just putting, since I met him in Hickory, what if, you know, our former church, Christian school and all, y'all have a day school, and they grow up and you see them start an organization for the atheists and humanists and agnostics. Is that what your goal is for the day school here? Of course not. So they're being reached somehow, and it's on the rise in our nation. Our nation being founded upon in God we trust. And we hold these truths, do we still hold them? I say we're not. It's been an erosion of them underneath. So what do? You got to get back to the foundation. Christian school. Lawrence Krauss. Okay, here's one I came across. Very interesting. He has a blog, so I'm sharing his picture because it's readily available on his blog. Christian home, Christian school, Bible preaching church, Bible college, pastoring. Pastored about 3 churches, I believe, over a period of 20, 25 years, something like that. Even tells how he, back in the day, led his church or tried to lead his church into taking their TVs to church, putting them out in the front yard and bashing them. You know, the days when that was an evil thing and you should get rid of your TV. And he says on his blog that he was the only one that did it. But so much zeal back then, and now an atheist? How can that be? And by the way, when I shared this at our conference effort last year at one of our supporting churches in Tennessee where we served for 3.5 years, the pastor came up to me afterwards and said, I knew that guy in college. He went to the same college. Anyway, I must go on. There's so many illustrations. One notable one, because of the death recent of evangelist Billy Graham. Have you ever heard of Charles Templeton? They didn't have the accolades for Charles Templeton that they had for Billy Graham. Charles Templeton was a contemporary and friend of evangelist Billy Graham. Same time, same station, not the same tune. He wrote in his book, Farewell to God, but Billy, it's simply not possible any longer to believe, for instance, the biblical account of creation. The world wasn't created. How does he know? What's his source for this? Would be the scientists, so-called. And he says the world wasn't created over a period of days a few thousand years ago. It has evolved over millions of years. This is such a critical subject matter, the age of the earth. And we can only mention that it's important. That's why we've got supplies back there in the back for you to check out. It's not a matter of speculation. It's demonstrable fact. Oh, really? So someone has lived over millions of years and demonstrated the age of the earth? No, they get it from the dating methods and such. Which we could talk about that. Maybe have a Q&A time afterwards this evening. But a turning points timeline I've shared with you in a turning points presentation. And back in 1925 was a trial. Anybody heard of the Scopes monkey trial? Anybody heard of that? It was a critical turning point in our nation. And I'm going to share more of this evening and tie it in with the sexual revolution of our nation, which includes the gender issue. But John Scopes did teach evolution and was found guilty. But during the trial it being broadcast nationwide by radio, the first nationwide radio broadcast. It negatively impacted our nation to the point where evolution was included in the school textbooks. And I'll highlight this more tonight.
Everything.
And I have a video for you tonight. I've got more, so much more to share. But faith goes hand in hand with reason. God said, come now, let's reason together. And we'll share, I got ahead of myself, but faith is the substance. Now, if I say I believe something or I have faith in something, is that something you can hold on to, you know, grab? Is it substance like that? No. The word, you break it down in English. You don't even have to go to the Greek and all that for this, but you look at sub. I'm not talking about food yet, so don't get hungry. All right. Sub means under. What's your stance on something? How you stand. What's your position? What about basketball? This being March, anybody like March Madness? I wore my Carolina hat yesterday for a reason, I told Heather. Because Carolina is still in the dance. So far, they may lose tonight, but anyway, I know y'all don't like going down. I mean, who's a Virginia Tech fan? Nobody? All right. UVA. All right. I know you're weeping. And anyway, what?
I'm hurting.
Hurting, yeah, I know. If it were Carolina, we'd be too. But anyway, basketball, getting to the stance. If you're the enemy or the opposing team coming down court and you're just standing here like this, are you ready? No, you're not ready for the opposing team. Your stance, you're caught off guard or whatever. You're not ready for the opposing team. And we've been like this for a long time. And the tactics of the devil have been impacting our young people for a long time. And the turning point being the Scopes trial, like I said, I'll mention. So you might call it the foundation. It's the very bedrock foundation. God didn't begin his word with a treatise on his existence. Just in the beginning, the heavens declare his glory. Design proclaims a designer. I'll dovetail some of this more this evening, the importance of evidences. First John begins, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. Who is the word of life? Jesus. John began his epistle with evidences that he had seen, he had heard, he had handled. And then when it comes to Thomas, whom we call doubting, and he was doubting, he was not believing. And he said, his closest associates, his friends came back, we've seen the Lord. How many of you know somebody that's like Thomas? The wall goes up. Like Dendel Holloman that I knew. And I counted him a friend. Just on the opposite side of things, he was truly a friend. But if you know somebody, the wall goes up. When you talk about church or when you talk about the Bible, maybe it's somebody you work with, maybe it's somebody in your family. We have a pastor friend whose son-in-law has turned away from the Bible. And I ask him, how's your family get-togethers? He said, we just don't. And this guy claims to be a preacher. Yeah, his son-in-law is a preacher, and it's in our home area. But Thomas' wall went up, it said, and he did not believe his closest associates, his friends, the other disciples came. We've seen, what would you think Thomas would, his response should have been? Really? Where is he? I want to go see him. Nope. Unless I see. His wall goes up. And how did Jesus deal with Thomas? He appeared just for him, didn't he? When he wouldn't go, apparently wouldn't go and ask his friends, where is he that I may go see him and stuff? Jesus came and appeared to him. You think Jesus loves the skeptic? Does Jesus love the agnostic? Does Jesus love even the atheist? You know, I'll be honest. It was with some fear and trepidation when I learned that there was going to be some humanists showing up at our humanist event or atheist event. I didn't know what they might do. I thought, are they going to stage a protest outside this little church? What are they going to do? They were nice. And they wanted to talk afterwards. They didn't interrupt or anything. To my relief, I just didn't know. And so the fear of the unknown was there. But I went outside beforehand just because they waited for the rest of their group to get there. And I thought, I need to go out and at least say hi, you know, and say, glad you're here. You know, if you knew somebody like that, would you be any different to them here at the church? Let me ask it a different. What if you went to where they were? Would you feel different? I would. I would feel out of place, for one thing. But we need to show them kindness. We need to show them love. And I'm speaking as much to myself, you know, how we did with his kids. You know, you point somebody, you got three fingers pointing back. And so I learned a little bit from that time that we had. But Jesus said, behold. He said, reach hither. He said, consider the evidence, if you will. And that was enough. Just Jesus standing there was enough for Thomas, wasn't it? And he said, my Lord and my God. Here's the verse I quoted earlier. Come now and let's what? Reason. God is a God of reason. He gave us the ability to reason. He doesn't want us checking our brains at the door. In fact, I love the verse you have up here. In fact, I just quoted it recently in class. I guess it was Friday night. My father-in-law was teaching, and I said, it makes me think of this. For something he said made me think of the verse. That they search the Scriptures to see if those things were so. We have a lot of things that we do today that are part of religion that aren't in the Scripture per se. Like times of services. They're not in the Bible per se. So we've got to sometime, what I'm getting to with this comment is that sometimes we're going to have to step outside of our box of thinking and put ourselves mentally into what this person may be thinking about us and help allay some of those things that aren't necessarily Scripture and go to where they're thinking and go. And I'll tell you what, evolution. Their minds are set with millions of years of the earth's history. That is settled fact. And when you and I place any question on that, they think we're crazy. Like that evangelist, Charles Templeton. You are outside of my box. You are outside of rational thinking. So many times their wall goes up. But when you go to that and you maybe sow a seed thought, well, how could there be soft tissue in a T-Rex thigh bone at 68 million years old? Yeah, how could that be? We get that many times. That's my favorite card to hand out. I need to make one on the mummified dinosaur body. How about the evidence from Mount Everest?
There are only around 12 days of the year when climbers can make it to the summit. Kenton must take this opportunity. He now ventures into what climbers call the death zone. Oxygen is needed to make the climb, as the air is three times thinner than at sea level. Kenton finally reaches the top of Everest.
8,850 meters. We are the highest people in the world.
I'm going to advance this.
Oxygen sample in the world reveals its secret.
We've got a section here through a crinoid stem. Crinoid is a sea lily.
From fossil records, the section can be dated. It is over 400 million years old.
Fairy tale!
The sea lily is evidence that the summit rock of Everest was formed in an ancient marine environment.
Oh, really? So fossils of sea critters have been found at the top of the highest mountain in the world. And not just fossils of sea creatures, but also a sedimentary rock layer. How could that be? Of course, in this program, they don't mention the flood. But pick me. I got an answer. They mentioned a mystery. It's a mystery. How could these things be? I can share with them evidence from the worldwide flood. or that it is. How about Mount St. Helens? God, it's been dubbed God's gift to the creationist. And I'm going to see if I can advance this somewhat. You see the... hey, this is the first time I've been able to do this. The canyon system that was carved rapidly by mud flows. Canyon systems that mirror, they're like Utah's Canyonlands National Park. That's this video. We were in the same year. I think it was 2009. We were able to go to Mount St. Helens and Utah's Canyonlands National Monument. And I dovetailed those two clips in this longer clip. There you see the canyon. And in those canyons, there's rock layers. Minute rock layering. You know what they say of the rock layers? They're millions of years old. One of them's called Jurassic. You ever heard that name before? It's the basis for a series of movies. You ever heard of Jurassic Park? How about Jurassic World? Here we're getting ready to go to Utah's Canyonlands with the video here. And all of the signs, Canyonlands National Monument, there in Utah, said the canyons formed over millions of years. Wait a minute. What about a catastrophe? Like the global flood. Just like with Mount St. Helens being formed in one tiny, tiny catastrophe comparatively. You see even the rock layers. Not from that screen, I guess, but I can see on my screen. But anyway, how about dinosaurs on pottery? Ancient pottery. A couple hundred years after the time of Christ. When we didn't even know the term dinosaur until 1841.
You can't go, you can't really reach. Oh,
did people know of dinosaurs before that?
For ankles and stuff. All these people.
How about the word dragon? Dragon in the Bible. I must go on. Just touching on some of these things, and I already referenced the soft tissue. But
practice of breaking dinosaur bones.
I want to share this video clip with you.
Hi, this is Mark Armitage coming to you from my lab. Where I've been busy working on dinosaur bones and the soft tissues within them. In fact, this is a piece of Triceratops frill that we excavated from the Hell Creek Formation in Montana. And we've been finding lots of soft tissue in this, the bone osteocytes, beautifully preserved down to hundreds of nanometers structure and still soft. And in my case, my science took me to soft tissue in a Triceratops horn. And I'm talking stretchy, and I'll show you this here in a second. This is what we mean by an example of soft tissue which was collected from the Triceratops horn in Montana. I'm going to stretch it. Look at how stretchy this is. And this is full of bone osteocytes, the tiny cells that make this tissue and then impregnate it with bone mineral. And this was found 1 foot from the surface in Montana in the presence of insects, microbes, rodents, plants, and fungal bodies, and we've recovered the DNA of all of those. So this cannot hang around for millions of years in the presence of all those organisms and oxygen and water. And so...
Amazing, isn't it? But millions of years old. You remember that quote from Charles Templeton? You remember that? It cannot have been created over a few thousand years. And he references millions of years. Charles Templeton, a contemporary evangelist of Billy Graham, had been infected with the millions of years. He did not know about the soft tissue.
Eventually, the ruptures with...
Global flood, I'm going to skip that one. This one's even more powerful. How about evidence of the Red Sea crossing? I was speaking a little bit because of the Sinaiticus. I connected some dots during Sunday school this morning. Very strong dots, if you will, concerning Sinaiticus, however it's pronounced, of the Textus issue, Textus Receptus, versus these other arenas, if you will, that are not the Word of God. Sinai. And I can't delve into this morning, afternoon or what have you, but all of our Bible maps have Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula. But Galatians 4 says it's in Arabia, which will be on the other side of the two gulfs of the Red Sea. So it is interesting that one of those is Sinai. They probably have to latch onto that because this is this is history for them. They got to have some tie to for Sinaiticus. But here's evidence at the bottom of the Red Sea. That's the Gulf of Suez. No, I'm sorry, the Gulf of Aqaba. And so they would have crossed the Red Sea to get to the other side, where Mount Sinai would have been on the other side after they crossed the Red Sea. This has been found at the bottom.
In the spring of 2000, a robotic camera was lowered into these waters for the first time.
This has never been done. No one had been in the area at all with a remote control camera.
The robotic camera's survey revealed many shapes and objects familiar to Moeller, including coral formations with right angles, arches, disks, and straight shafts fused into larger masses that had the appearance of twisted wreckage.
Now, when we have been able to go back and forth with a remote control camera, we can repeatedly see that these strange structures we are looking for are there. Not at one place, but you see them again and again and again. There are situations where you see something that looks...
Ooh, my battery's running low.
Looks like an axle.
I didn't get that cord, brother.
Looks like a wheel.
To plug it in.
And you say to yourself, this is not a coral reef. This is a coral growth on an artifact. And that is what's different to me when I compare corals at other locations around the world.
Since the earliest explorations at Nueva, one distinctive type of formation has often been...
My battery is dying. We talked about plugging this thing in beforehand, and then we got busy and didn't do so. But the evidences abound that the Bible is true. Amen. And so... we aren't told these things because the devil has gotten our people thinking in millions of years. And just like when I talked about 1 Timothy chapter 1, they've been taken in by these fables. Fables that, like the devil with Eve, yea, hath God said. And towards the end of this presentation, I can't even see it by now, but you got a cord, brother? I've got one in my toolbox in my truck. That's a white one, if anybody wants to go get it. But anyway, I've got a picture of like a church building and even a Christian school beside of it. And the artwork is people going into it, and then it's on a cliff. The edge of it is on a cliff, and the people are going in, and they're falling off. Now, the artwork doesn't have fire, so I don't apply it to... Now, there's some religions are like that. If you trust religion to get you to heaven, you're not getting there. It's by a person, the Lord Jesus. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the church being on the edge, and we've got lots of great activities, whether it's visiting, pulpit ministry, ministry to shut-ins, music ministry, wonderful music you all have, and those are all activities. And outside the box of this, the atheist view, the agnostic view, this is a social club. Follow me, all right? This is a social club. So you'll have to kind of pardon that little terminology there, but I'm trying to put our thinking outside of this. People viewing this who don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, who don't believe in a God at all, and equating the God of the Bible with, you know, Santa Claus and ISIS, you know, or whatever, the God ISIS, not the group, but anyway, and all these things. So that's how they would view that it's a fairy tale, all right? And by the way, that's some of the terminology from the young man that I referenced earlier who had gone to Pensacola Christian College. By the way, what started him into studying, investigating? The subject of wine, or he called it rum. And that being in a Christian's home started him, that's a bad sin. Why would this Christian have it? So he began to investigate it, found the Christianity being splintered on the subject. So that led him to think, what else must I investigate? And so that started him down the pathway of doubt, Pastor. His words, that's what he described to me. Right or wrong, you know, that's what he told me. So anyway, lots of good activities in churches, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, lots of good activities. When people are coming, they need solid answers. like you are working to give with it. They need solid answers as to the book they hold in their hand. And y'all are working to do that. And congratulations, I am thankful for that. You don't see that every church. Them going, digging deep. Now, take the digging deep that Brother James is doing concerning this and apply that to creation. And I take the ism off of creation and I put it on evolution. That's the ism. Like Mormonism, Catholicism, the ism should go on evolution. And we call it creation. Creation versus evolutionism. I have to work in my thinking as well with that. But the people dropping off, they're dropping off not into hell in that artwork, they're dropping off into the moral abyss of humanistic reasoning. The moral abyss. And even those who have trusted Christ their Savior, such as the young man that I referenced, he says he was saved at a young age. We would say he just went through the motions. But he says he was saved, baptized, and everything. Now he thinks the Bible is a book. I mean, you believe in talking snakes and people living in whales. It was just one, Jonah. He didn't set up and have a Wi-Fi account and everything in the whale. No, but it sounds like that. You believe in people living in whales. That's how he terms it. And he even went to the same Christian school I went to. Can you believe that, Pastor? It's hard for... And it hits home. And it's more than just him. It's been a number of individuals over the last 10, 15 years that basically began when I was mentioning... what was his name? Dendel Holloman. Back in... when I was running a bus route. So I'm just going to reference this morning, and since this died on us, the last thing that I share is from Nehemiah. Nehemiah. When Nehemiah said to the people, you remember when the walls were broken down, and they had, 52 days to rebuild it. In instigating the people to rebuild the walls, he said, you see the distress that we are in. I'm highlighting some of that distress in our nation. And it's not just outside the walls of the church. It is infiltrated, has been infiltrating into the young people through the realm of science. And I would call it pseudoscience. It isn't true science because you can't observe, test, or repeat millions of years. But the devil has been working away at this. And we've been doing this number. Like Nehemiah, I'm seeking to say, hey, you see the distress we're in. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. Come, let's build. And you don't build by just saying, hey, just read the Bible. Is that a good thing? Yes, that's a good thing. That can also be taken as a brushing aside. When those young people have questions about dinosaurs, you can say, well, what about dragons? Did they live at the Bible times with people? What's the difference between dinosaur? And so follow up with a question or two. That means you have to have something up here as to what you know, like soft tissue. And some things, just some simple things that you can at least do. Take the devil's own tool and use it against him. If he said to Eve, yea, hath God said, why can't we say, yea, hath Darwin said? Because he's lauded as factual when he never even had a science degree, folks. He had a theology degree. And by the way, I'll share this evening how that Christians brought evolution to America. Christians did. We'll share that this evening. But what was the people's response? And we'll finish up with this. The people's response to Nehemiah, when Nehemiah said, we've seen, you know, you've seen the distress, come, let's build. What did they say? Let's rise up and build. So, Pastor, honey, would you come and just play? Whatever. I would invite you for this culture. In your area, you know, folks, I don't know. We'll never know. You have a circle of influence. Even somebody sitting beside you. It's kind of like Facebook. You know, you have friends and friends, common friends, but then there's different friends on this one's account. Different. So that's like life. You have somebody you know where you work, a family member and things, and maybe you know somebody that's agnostic. Anybody know somebody that claims to be atheist? How about just a non? They're non-religious. They don't care. Maybe come and pray for them. Join me down front. I can't pray for Dendel. I can't do anything for him now. In northwest North Carolina, there was a landslide that took place, and it cut out. I would have had to have driven, you know, up a couple hours, and it would have been about a five-hour trip for two-hour or whatever to Pigeon Forge, where near where he lived. I can't do anything for Dendel Holloman now. But you know what I can do? I can use Dendel Holloman to help warn us of what's happening with our young people. And we're growing Dendel Hollimans right under our noses. Things like a cartoon like Dinosaur Train is teaching kids, young kids, evolution right under our noses. Dinosaur Train, I had that in a last slide, which, as you say, went dead. So I invite you to join me down front, praying for our nation, praying for this culture, praying for us that we would reach children, reach young people more effectively with the truths of God's Word. Pastor, would you come?
And stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. What a stirring invitation. I don't think there's none of us here this morning.